The Lord. I believe your life story itself is a witness and testimony how God is faithful in keeping his promise. Amen? God promised, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, today, this morning, let us see the word of God, Romans. Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6, verse from 1 to 10. Okay, from verse 1 to 10, let us read alternatively. Let me start verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Shall we repeat these two verses one more time together, verse 1 and 2, ready, go. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Why? Because we die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Verse 3, or don't you know? Okay, verse 3, my turn, verse 3. Verse 4, your turn. Verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he can't die again. Death no longer has mastery, dominion over him. The death he died, and he dies. So, but the life he lives to God. Amen. This is the word of God. God bless all of us with his powerful and active alive words. We saw last Sunday in previous chapter 5:20 says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. You remember? This is another how much more. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. King James Version says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Grace superabounded. No matter how much we sin, God's grace is greater. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. There is no sinner whom Jesus Christ cannot save. Do you believe this? If sin is powerful, how much more God's grace is powerful, more powerful. Then question is, if this is true, where sin increased, grace increased much, much more. Verse 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? Shall we continue to sin so that we may experience more and more grace? What is the answer? Answer is no, no. By no means, certainly not. Why? Why? Because we died to sin. We are alive to God, but we are dead. We died to sin. What does this mean? How is it possible we die to sin? And what does this mean, we die to sin? First, this means we are united with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We are identified with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Not only Jesus, do you believe Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe? But not only Jesus died for our sins, but also he died to sin. I and you, we are in Christ. I'm in Christ and united with Jesus Christ. Therefore, whatever happened to Jesus Christ has happened to me. When he died, we died with him. When he rose again from the dead, we rose with him. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. How is it possible? What does this mean? At this moment, we must be able to see the reality of what is unseen, what is invisible. Yes, anybody, everybody can see what is seen. But do you have faith? Do you have faith? Amen. Faith, what is the faith? Faith is power. Faith is ability to see what is unseen. Anybody can see what is seen, but what is unseen can be seen by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes. Do you have eyes? Two eyes? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Why? Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is how long? Forever, eternal. You know, there are two worlds, seen world, visible world, and unseen, invisible world, physical world, spiritual world. For example, in seen and physical world, we know Jesus Christ came in this world 2,000 years ago. And Abraham was a man of about 4,000 years ago. John the Baptist was 6 months older than our Lord Jesus Christ. This is true in physical seen world. But John the Baptist confessed, Jesus Christ is greater than me. He has surpassed me because he was before me. Also, Jesus says, I am before Abraham was born. Colossians 1:17 says, Jesus Christ is before all things. In him, all things hold together. All things were created by Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. You know, in invisible, in spiritual world, Jesus Christ is before the creation of the world, before the foundation of the world. We can say, my age is something. How old are you? When did you become Christian? You can answer to this question in physical, seen world. But in unseen spiritual world, do you know this truth? When Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago at Calvary, you were there. Do you know that? Your old self was there. Do you know that? I was there. Even Abraham was there. David was there. Moses was there. Even David. And first man, Adam. Adam was there. Your parents were there. Your children were there. Your grandchildren to be born were there. In the body of Jesus Christ on the cross, who takes away the sin of the world. Yes, this is an amazing mystery. But this is a historical fact, historical truth, historical reality. Do you believe this? You know, in these 10 verses, we read 10 verses, then almost in every each verse, we can see the word death or died. Shall we see quickly? In verse 2, by no means we died to sin. Verse 3, last part. Who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. In verse 4, in the middle, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into what? Into death. Verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death. Verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him. How clear? Our old self was crucified with him. Do you know this one? Your old self. Your old self already was crucified with him 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross at Calvary at the same time. Verse 7. Anyone who has died. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ. Verse 9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead. And conclusion, verse 10. The death he died. He died to sin once for all. Once for eternity. But the life he lives to God. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified. Would you stretch your two hands on the cross? Your old self, right now, your old self was crucified on the cross. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. So, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Colossians 3:3-4 says, you died. Your old self died. Now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Jesus Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. In glory. The message is very clear. Because of our union, identification with Jesus Christ in his death, everything, anything happened to Jesus Christ with his death, after his death, will happen to us. If his death is your death, my death, we can say his burial is my burial. His resurrection is my resurrection. His life is my life. His kingdom is my kingdom. His glory is my glory. Why? Because we are Christ's co-heirs. Do you know co-heirs? Joint heirs, fellow heirs. We are Christ's co-heirs. In verse 3 and 4, we can see the word baptism. Baptism. Did you receive a word of baptism? Baptism, word of baptism is a picture of the spiritual truth of our identification with Jesus Christ. Yes, we know the word of baptism itself does not put us into Christ. Water baptism itself does not make us a Christian. Water baptism does not make or identify us with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism, water baptism is only outward symbol of inward experience in which we are united with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Actually, English word baptize came from Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. Shall we say it together? Baptizo. Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. Baptize. Baptizo has two meanings. Literal meaning of baptizo is to dip, immerse, D-I-P. And figurative meaning of baptizo is to be identified with. To be identified with. So, water baptism is a public announcement to this world that I am a Christian. I belong to Christ. I am united. I am identified with Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his new life. Are you baptized? Are you baptized? Your baptism, the meaningful, very, very meaningful. Your baptism means you announced, you declared publicly, openly to this world, I'm Christian, I belong to Christ. I'm united with Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Because of this new living relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a totally new relationship to sin. Shall we read again? Verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Why? We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Shall we say it together? Where sin increases, God's grace increases much more. Because of this, can you sin? Never, never, impossible, impossible. Let me say some examples in the Bible. First example, we know the robber on the cross next to Jesus Christ. Do you know him? We know him. This robber next to Jesus Christ on the cross, you know, as we know, at that time, the crucifixion was a penalty given a worst criminal. And we can guess he had lived so bad life. Terrible, terribly wicked, evil life. Then this robber, this bad man, said to Jesus next to him, he has no power. He had no power to say. He had no enough time to say. So he said just one sentence. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just one sentence. Jesus, remember me. This short one sentence, Jesus, remember me, says many, many things. It means, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. I need your help. Help me, help me. You can save me. You are Savior. You are my Lord. Only one sentence. But this one sentence has many, many meanings. Also, Jesus answered only one sentence. Today, not tomorrow, not in the future. Today, right now, you will be with me in paradise. What does this mean? Your sin, all your sins are forgiven. You are saved. Hallelujah. Amen. What a grace. What a grace. He experienced God's grace is much more greater than all his sins. He experienced where sin increased, God's grace increased much more. He experienced in his life on the cross. Then imagine, if he had received more opportunity to live on this land after this crucifixion, do you think it is possible for him to go back into his old lifestyle full of sin in order to experience this wonderful, amazing, marvelous grace on the cross again? No. Once is enough. Once is enough. How about the prodigal son? We know prodigal son in the book of Luke, chapter 15. Bad son. This son is called the prodigal son. Prodigal means bad, evil, wicked. This son left his father for his own life, for his own freedom. He spent all he had. He lost all he had, so he became lost. He wanted freedom, but he became slave, literal slave, beggar. And when he came into his senses, he returned to his father and repented. Father, I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please receive, please make me just like one of your servants, one of your hired men. What is the response of his father to him? His father, their father, never mentioned his past life, never mentioned his sin. Just filled with the compassion for him, he threw himself around him, kissed him. Can you kiss your next? He kissed him and said, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him and put ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Kill the cow and let us celebration and feast. Immediately, totally, fully, his sonship was restored. What a grace. Yes, this son experienced marvelous, unbelievably believing grace. He experienced where sin increased, God's grace increased more. He experienced. But is it possible for him to go back again, leaving his father to his old lifestyle in order to experience this wonderful grace, marvelous grace? Is it possible? No. Why? Because he died to his old self. He cannot go backward for restoring grace, but he must go forward for developing grace. How about Paul, Apostle Paul? Paul wrote this book, Romans. Yes, we know once he was a champion in persecuting the church, hating Christians, hating believers. One day he was on the way to Damascus, breathing out murderous threats to arrest Christians and to put them into prison. Then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ appeared to him from heaven and changed his life completely, totally, 180 degrees, saying, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul, in big surprise, answered, Lord, who are you? Jesus answered, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Yes, this Paul experienced amazing grace, amazing grace. He experienced God's grace is greater than all his sins. He experienced where sin increases, grace increased much more. Then is it possible for Paul to go back to his old lifestyle, full of sin, full of hatred against believers, Christians, in order to experience this wonderful, marvelous grace on the way to Damascus again? No. Absolutely impossible. So he confessed, he declared Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenwards in Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He can never go backward for restoring grace, but he must go forward for developing grace. Let me say one more last example. We know the story of Nazareth in the book of John, chapter 11 and 12. Nazareth's story is a picture of our salvation process, salvation procedure. 이 나사렛의 이야기는 죽었던 나사렛의 이야기는 우리의 구원 여정의 모형입니다. Difficult to say in Korean. Nazareth's story is a picture of our salvation procedure. In chapter 11, 12 of book of John, he has been in tomb, how long? 4 days with a bad smell, terrible smell. So there is no question about his death. Like this, spiritually, we were once dead, totally, absolutely dead in our sins and in our transgression, according to Ephesians chapter 2. Then one day, Jesus Christ came to the tomb of Nazareth. Nazareth, the dead Nazareth, did not come to Jesus Christ because he was dead. But Jesus came to the tomb of Nazareth. Like this, we did not come to Jesus Christ. Before we came to Jesus Christ, Jesus came to us because we were dead in sin spiritually. Then Jesus said to the dead Nazareth, Nazareth, come out. Then the dead Nazareth heard the voice of Jesus Christ and obeyed the dead. The dead Nazareth obeyed the command of Jesus Christ. And he came out and lived. Immediately, unconditionally. But is it possible? Is it possible for Nazareth to kill himself, commit suicide, and go into the tomb and lie with bad smell in order to experience this wonderful, marvelous power of Jesus Christ one more time? What is the answer? Yes or no? Instead, after rising from the dead, Nazareth was seated with Jesus Christ at the table in perfect, wonderful, beautiful fellowship with Jesus Christ. The process of Nazareth's story is first, dead. Second, raised from the dead. Third, set free to walk in the newness of life. And finally, seated with Jesus Christ in heaven. Like this, Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 says, as for you, as for me, you were dead spiritually in your sins, in your transgressions. Then same chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, God raised you up with Jesus Christ and seated you in heavenly realms with Jesus Christ. This is Nazareth story is our story. So we do not want to go back into our sin any more than Nazareth wanted to go back into the tomb dressed with a grave cross, because we died to sin. We are new creation. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. Bible says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, the old has gone, the new has come. The old has gone. The old has gone. How far? We cannot reach. We cannot go back to the old self because the old has gone. Sin and death have no more dominion over Jesus Christ. So, because we are in Jesus Christ, sin and death have no more dominion, mastery over us. Please remember, if we are really, really born again Christian, we cannot go backward, but we go on and on forwards, heavenwards in Jesus Christ for his glory, for his kingdom. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, by no means. Why? Because we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Amen. Shall we pray together? Father God, we know our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, but also died to sin. Father, we know and believe without doubts when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him, with you. So when he rose again, we rose again. We are living your life in this world, not only in this world, but also in the world to come forever and ever. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ is called our first brother, first example of what kind of man we should be. Father God, thank you for this wonderful grace, marvelous grace, wonderful power expressed in our Lord Jesus Christ. All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.